Zodiac, a symbol that now stands for terror.
He has killed five and says he's going to kill again. Psychopath.
Remember, investigators say there were unusually high levels of chloroform found in Casey Anthony's trunk.
But again, OJ appears to be holding a gun to his head.
Police won't confirm a newspaper report that Dahmer has confessed to murder and cannibalism.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
Every Monday at this time, we tell the story of a real true crime story that will probably terrify you and hopefully entertain you. And it's all actually to bring attention to the amazing work that Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana does. They provide a way for you to anonymously give tips on unsolved crimes. If you have a tip for any case, call 317-262-TIPS. I saw last night, I've seen this morning, there are a lot of photos. If you want to hop on your phone right now, at Joe and Alex Show, follow us on Instagram, you can see for the murder Alex is about to tell us about this week. There's a lot of photos up there. What is Murder Monday this week?
We're talking about Gypsy Rose Blanchard.
My mother told the doctors that I was mentally incompetent. She's got the mind of like a child. She told me if I was to contact anybody and tell them that she would take a hammer to my fingers. And she had taken handcuffs and a dog leash and tied it together and tied me to the bed. I just don't understand how somebody can do this to their child.
Oh my gosh.
Yep, we're talking about Gypsy Rose Blanchard, who suffered through years of abuse at the hands of her mother, Dee Dee Blanchard. It's one of the most well-known Munchausen syndrome by proxy cases of all time, which if you don't know, that's a psychiatric disorder where a caregiver makes up illnesses or even causes illnesses on purpose in someone that they're supposed to be taking care of, like their own child, so that they can have attention and sympathy and gain financial support for themselves by manipulating the sympathy of others.
I think like Eminem mentioned in his song, like his mom did that, you know?
So Munchausen syndrome is just you do it to yourself. Like you go to the doctor, you think that you're sick because you like the attention for yourself. And then Munchausen syndrome by proxy is when you do it to someone else. So I think Eminem's mom was to herself.
Okay.
Where Dee Dee Blanchard does it to Gypsy, her daughter.
I thought it was just when you were hungry or something. I didn't realize that's what it was at first.
But before we jump into the abuse, we have to look at Dee Dee's past for any warning signs that she may have given people close to her. It's 1967, and Dee Dee is born in Louisiana near the Gulf Coast. As she grows up, Dee Dee starts to act out when things don't go her way. She starts stealing small things here and there as retaliation to those she felt had wronged her. As a young adult, Dee Dee gets a job as a nurse's aide, giving her firsthand knowledge of the medical field, different illnesses, and even medication. At the age of 24, Dee Dee meets 17-year-old Rod Blanchard. She gets pregnant, and they decide to name their daughter Gypsy Rose. Dee Dee loved the name Gypsy, and Rod loved Guns N' Roses, so the name seemed like a perfect fit. They get married, but right before Gypsy is born in 1991, Rod decides to end his marriage with Dee Dee, saying he got married for the wrong reasons, but that he does still want to remain a prominent figure in Gypsy's life. According to family, Gypsy is born slightly premature, but other than that, has no health issues. When Gypsy turns 3 months old, Dee Dee starts telling Rod that Gypsy is suffering from sleep apnea and starts taking Gypsy to the hospital for repeated overnight stays, even though the sleep test found no sign of the condition. This is when Rod says Dee Dee became convinced that Gypsy suffered from a huge range of health issues and that Gypsy suffered from an unspecified chromosomal disorder. At the time Gypsy is 7, she goes on a ride with her grandpa on his motorcycle. He gets into a minor accident and Gypsy gets a tiny scrape on her knee, which Dee Dee said was the sign of more injuries they couldn't see on the outside. She takes Gypsy to get several surgeries and confines her to a wheelchair even though she can walk. Here's Gypsy talking to Dr. Phil about that.
She had me use a walker before the wheelchair, and then after that motorcycle accident, put in the wheelchair.
Why did she tell you you had to be on a walker?
She said that I had muscular dystrophy.
But did you feel any different the day before you got the walker than the day you did have the walker?
No, sir.
You were able to run around?
Pretty much, yes.
And would you forget to get it and run into the kitchen?
There would be times that I'd forget to grab it and then go to walk. And then my mom would catch me and be like, use your walker.
By now, Dee Dee has totally pulled Gypsy out of school completely. Gypsy starts teaching herself how to read by reading Harry Potter books. And Dee Dee moves Gypsy and herself to live with Dee Dee's dad and stepmom and starts requesting that she make dinner for everyone. Well, Dee Dee's dad says that Dee Dee poisoned her stepmom's food with weed Roundup Killer, leading to her stepmom's own chronic illnesses for a period of time. By the way, Dee Dee's actual mom died only a year earlier when Dee Dee was taking care of her, which her family think is because Dee Dee was denying giving her food. So Dee Dee starts getting arrested while she's living with her dad and stepmom for writing bad checks and other minor offenses, and her dad and stepmom confront her about not only her erratic and reckless behavior, but also her questionable treatment of Gypsy. Dee Dee bolts. She takes Gypsy away and seizes all contact with her dad and stepmom. They have absolutely no clue where they went. And as soon as she leaves, by the way, her stepmom's health returns to normal.
Interesting.
Dee Dee and Gypsy start living in public housing and paying their bills with public assistance and Rod's child support payments. She starts taking Gypsy to the Children's Hospital of New Orleans and other hospitals and now says that Gypsy is suffering from hearing and vision problems. She tells doctors that Gypsy is having seizures every few months and they prescribe her an anti-seizure medication, which causes her teeth to crumble and fall out. So some fall out on their own, other teeth have to be extracted. Her perfectly good, normal teeth, okay? Then Gypsy gets a feeding tube put in. She's constantly taking Gypsy to the emergency room for random things. And then Hurricane Katrina happens.
Buildings have collapsed. There are reports from New Orleans of people trapped in buildings that have come down around them. They have made desperate calls to 911 asking for help, asking for rescue, but the rescuers can't get out. It's simply too dangerous right now in those plus 135-mile-an-hour winds.
The entire community is devastated, and Dee Dee and Gypsy go to a shelter set up for people with special needs. Dee Dee uses Hurricane Katrina as an excuse to say that all of Gypsy's medical records and her birth certificate are destroyed, so doctors just take Dee Dee's word for it when it comes to all of Gypsy's supposed disabilities.
Wow, that is just crazy. It's like genius and insane, but like,
yes.
How do you think of these things?
So a doctor who's originally from the Ozarks at the shelter suggests that Dee Dee and Gypsy move to Missouri, so Dee Dee and Gypsy get airlifted to their new home. Habitat for Humanity builds Dee Dee and Gypsy a little pink house with a wheelchair ramp that you can see on Instagram at Joe and Alex Show. The entire community rallies behind the amazing story of a single mother and special needs daughter trying to pick up the pieces after Hurricane Katrina. They get tons of charitable contributions, backstage passes to concerts like Miranda Lambert, trips to Disney World, free flights to see doctors in bigger cities, and she's still getting child support payments, by the way, from Rod, who keeps trying to see Gypsy, but every time he does, Dee Dee changes the plans or says Gypsy's too sick or taking a nap so she can't talk or can't see him, and so that leaves Rod completely in the dark about Gypsy's situation. Dee Dee tells Gypsy her dad is an abusive alcoholic and even tells neighbors the same thing. Gypsy has no idea that her dad has even been sending the money because Dee Dee hides it from her. Dee Dee's mom never tells Gypsy how old she really is. She always tells her that she's mentally challenged, shaving her head to make her look like a chemo patient and telling people that she briefly suffered from leukemia. She feeds her children's Pedialyte through her feeding tube into her 20s, keeping Gypsy at a childlike weight and size. She has Gypsy speak in a childlike voice. When Gypsy tries suggesting to others that she isn't really sick, her mom squeezes her hand hard in public, and then later when they get home, beats her with a coat hanger. Dee Dee would numb Gypsy's mouth before doctor's visits so that she would drool uncontrollably. Then, Dee Dee would tell doctors her drooling is out of control and she has her salivary glands completely removed.
Oh my gosh.
With a surgery.
What?
On Gypsy's 18th birthday, her dad calls to wish her a happy birthday, but Dee Dee asks him not to tell her how old she is because she says it will upset her that she's several years behind mentally and that she won't be able to understand that she's actually 18-year-old. So he doesn't know any better and just goes by Dee Dee's wishes, totally clueless as to what was actually happening in the little pink house. One doctor, a pediatric neurologist, after years of surgeries and doctor's visits, is suspicious of Dee Dee, finally. He orders MRIs and blood tests, but finds nothing wrong with Gypsy, and so he puts in Gypsy's file that he thinks her case may be a Munchausen by proxy situation. Other doctors that had worked with Dee Dee and Gypsy told him to treat the situation with golden gloves and said authorities wouldn't believe him anyway, so he shouldn't report it to social services. In 2009, an anonymous caller tells police that she is suspicious of Dee Dee and police check it out. But Dee Dee convinces police that she has an abusive ex-husband and the sob story about Gypsy's medical records being destroyed in Hurricane Katrina, and the police believe her and close the case. When we come back, I'll tell you how this was a fatal mistake by police and how they could have prevented Gypsy's inevitable breakdown resulting in the death of Dee Dee Blanchard.
I'm looking on our Joe and Alex Show Instagram right now, and there's photos of Gypsy Rose, the girl we're talking about, her mom, Dee Dee, her dad, Rod, and the pink house that was built for them. And this is just...
in the inside of the house. Yeah. Do you see her wheelchair in the bathroom?
Okay, I'm right there. That's her dad, the pink house. Yes, okay, right inside
and
there.
Look at the last photo. That's not even all, but a bunch of the medications and stuff that Gypsy was on.
It's like the whole pantry.
Yeah, an entire food pantry just, with medication.
It's just creepy, like looking at her mom behind her, hugging her, like smiling, like, oh, yay.
Really scary.
To know the real story.
Tweet along as we tell this story what you think about Gypsy Rose Blanchard and her mom, Dee Dee, at Joan Alex Show, hashtag Murder Monday. We left off with the police totally dropping the ball and saving Gypsy Blanchard from abuse at the hands of her mother, who suffers from Munchausen by proxy. While people on the outside believe that Gypsy was barely a teenager, she was actually a young adult. And she starts to develop a desire, like any normal young girl, to have a boyfriend. After her mom Dee Dee goes to bed, Gypsy sneaks her laptop and gets online, gaining access to a world outside the Gypsy so desperately wished she could be a part of. Gypsy joins a Facebook group for singles and meets Nicholas Godijohn. He's around Gypsy's age and suffers from multiple personality disorder and autism, and also has a criminal record for indecent exposure. They date online for 3 years. She sends him naked pictures of herself. Their conversations get into some weird BDSM type stuff. And I mean, this is a girl. I mean, think about it. Everyone thinks that she's like 9 years old in her mind. And she acts like she's 9 years old and looks like she's 9 years old. But she's, when her mom is asleep, taking pictures of herself in like wigs, in sexy lingerie and all this. It's very strange. He tells Gypsy that one of his personalities is a 500-year-old vampire named Victor. Okay? So she's scared of Victor. He tells her that Victor's dangerous. Well, their conversations start getting into this dark territory, and finally, you know, Gypsy, I don't know, it's not a red flag to her. I think she's just so naive and has zero life experience that, she doesn't know any better. And she's so desperate to have anyone to talk to or be her friend or anything because of her situation. I think she, like, doesn't really realize how weird that is. He lives in Wisconsin. She convinces him to come to Missouri. And she plans to have her mom, Dee Dee, take her to see a movie and then accidentally bump into Nicholas and start talking to him there at the movie. And then her plan was to introduce him to her mom as if they had just met there. And the movie's like, oh, look at this guy I just met. Well, while they're there at the movie, he actually comes down from Wisconsin and goes to this movie with her. They're both in costume because she likes like Comic-Con stuff.
Okay.
They're both in costume and she hints to him to follow her into the bathroom where they have sex.
Ugh.
And instead of introducing Nicholas to her mom, Gypsy asks him if he'll kill her mom. He says yes.
Now, what?
I know. Now it's June of 2015 and Nicholas comes to Missouri from Wisconsin. Okay, now he's coming back to kill her mom. As soon as Dee Dee falls asleep, Gypsy lets Nicholas into the little pink house. Gypsy hands him duct tape, gloves, and a knife, knowing that he would use them to kill her mother, Dee Dee. Nicholas tells Gypsy to hide in the bathroom and cover her ears and not to interrupt him because it may anger Victor, the 500-year-old vampire personality that lives inside of him, and he doesn't want to accidentally hurt Gypsy. You can see a picture of the bathroom that she hides in while her mom is getting murdered on Instagram at Joan Alex Show. But even with her hands over her ears, she hears things anyways.
I heard her scream for me a couple times. But at first, like, she sounded like she was startled, like, who's there? And then I heard her screaming.
Nicholas creeps into the master bedroom and sees Dee Dee asleep. He stabs her to death. Gypsy meets Nicholas in her room and they have sex.
What?
They grab $4,000 Dee Dee had been keeping in the house and hightail it to a motel. They stay there for several days and Gypsy starts to think that they've gotten away with it. She mails the knife Nicholas uses to stab her mom to Nicholas's house in Wisconsin and they take a Greyhound bus to Wisconsin. Witnesses see Gypsy get on the bus with a blonde wig and walking without assistance. Gypsy is worried no one is going to find her mom's body, so she takes Nicholas's phone when they're in Wisconsin and makes two posts to her Facebook page. The first says, "That bitch is dead." After people start commenting, thinking Gypsy must be watching a movie and surprised at her language, Gypsy comments herself 17 minutes later, writing that whoever made the post murdered Dee Dee and raped and kidnapped Gypsy. Gypsy was hoping someone would report the post to police, and they did. Police get a warrant and find Dee Dee's body. The community is devastated and terrified, fearing the worst for Gypsy. From what they knew, all of Gypsy's medication had been left behind, her wheelchair, her feeding tube, her oxygen tanks. They didn't think that she'd be able to survive without them because they had no idea that Gypsy wasn't actually sick. Police trace the IP address that made the Facebook post and find Gypsy and Nicholas at his house in Wisconsin. Gypsy and Nicholas surrender and are taken in on charges of murder. The public rejoices at the news that Gypsy is safe, still clueless about the situation. Nicholas and Gypsy are held on a $1 million bond, and that's when the police make a statement that changes everything. Sheriff Jim Arnott says on the news, things are not always what they seem, and the media goes into a frenzy. Everyone finds out that not only can Gypsy walk, she isn't sick, her mom's been abusing her, and she was under her mom's control as her cash cow. The county prosecutor said Gypsy's case was extraordinary and unique and that he wouldn't seek the death penalty for Gypsy or Nicholas. And after getting a hold of her real medical records to prove she was the victim of child abuse, he gave Gypsy a plea bargain of second-degree murder and 10 years in prison. She gains 14 pounds in prison the first year because of how malnourished she was. Nicholas's charges are a little bit more severe since he was the one who actually murdered Dee Dee, but his lawyers wanted him to go through a psychiatric evaluation because they say that his IQ is only 82. He's on the autism spectrum and may not totally have been able to understand what he was doing. His trial is actually set for next month of this year, November.
Oh, it hasn't happened yet.
November of 2018 is when Nicholas's trial is supposed to be, so I'm sure we'll be seeing more about this in the news. And Dee Dee's family, who had confronted her about the treatment of Gypsy, say Dee Dee deserved her fate, and none of them paid for her funeral or wanted to pick up her ashes. Finally, though, they got a hold of her ashes, and they flushed them down the toilet.
Dang!
As far as Gypsy goes, here's how she feels about everything now.
No matter what, murder is not okay. But at the same time, I don't believe I deserve as many years as I got.
What do you think? Do you think 10 years was fair, like, given her situation? Should she not have had to go to prison at all? Like, what do you think?
I don't think she should have had to go to prison.
I almost don't either. I mean, she did plan the murder of her mother. I don't know. It's so hard. It's such a hard situation.
I think she needs, like, extreme psychiatric help after all the trauma she's faced throughout her entire life. There's no way you can face that much trauma and not
snap.
Need some sort of psychiatric help.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she is doing that
How
while she's
old
in prison.
Is she?
She is. Well, she's born in 91. I was born in 90, so she's like 27.
Crazy.
But you can see a picture of what she looks like now on Instagram at Joe and Alex Show, and you can watch an HBO documentary about this case called Mommy Dead and Dearest. If you don't have HBO Go or anything, you can watch it on YouTube. And Dr. Phil did a special with her, which is really good, where he interviews her from jail. That's also on YouTube.
I'm just really surprised if she's 25 or whatever she is.
27, I think.
And this guy's 500 years old.
Right.
Like, hello.
What would they even have to talk about?
I mean, you know, like, to me, that's the biggest crime out of this whole story right here. But that's just me doing my thing. All right, cool. Thank you so much, Alex. Yeah, just insane. You got to see those photos.